Before I start, I will tell everybody that Rod Sersin in the back, if you would meet any of you diehard Phillies fans that need a little prayer, you know, to help you through the whooping you're going to get tonight, me and Rod will be in the back after the service and we'll pray with you. I believe he is. John, we will pray with you all day. Because I know you live there, man. It's got to be rough. I love baseball. I'm going to tell you that name. It's the best sport in the world, bar none. Anything else? I was talking to a friend of mine the other night. Timothy Archery preaches out in Texas. We were talking on Twitter, and he kept sending me. I was talking about baseball, and he kept sending me these tweets that said NBA, NFL. And I had to tweet him back and say, well, NIV I know, KJV I know, but who is this NBA? I mean, I was lost, you know, for a long time. I don't know that version. I don't know a teacher here that preaches from it. But through the years, baseball has just, it's been full of characters. I'm old school. So see, I know some people that you guys don't know. A-Rod don't come up with too many good quotes. Jeter, God bless him, he doesn't say too much to remember, but the old guys did. Any Dodger fans? Tommy Lasorda of the Dodgers once said, he was talking about Ron Say, who played late 70s. Of Ron Say's speed, Tommy Lasorda said he could get in a race with a pregnant woman and come in third. I did it for you, Eric. Are you happy? Okay. And baseball is full of quotes like that. It's the old timers. They made the game, the sages of the game. So today I think what we'll do is we're going to take a trip around the bases and we're going to hit four bases that'll hit a home run, a grand slam. For you Yankee fans, a grand slam is, for you people who are not Yankee fans, a grand slam is when somebody's on every base and somebody hits a home run. It's the pinnacle of hitting. We can hit a grand slam in our spiritual walk, because until we change us, we're going to never change anyone. Yogi Berra one time said that baseball is 90% mental and the other half physical. Anybody got a Dr. Reese math class? I cleared these figures with Dr. Reese, and these are good percentages. But think about that. They play 162 games. They're running in the heat. If you're a Yankee fan, you get to hang on in November and run in the cold. They start training. Some never quit training. They'll go play in off-season leagues. The physical pressure that these guys go through, the running, the training. But yet he says it's 90% mental. I'm here to tell you that Christianity is the same way. It's 90% mental. Maybe more. It might be 100% mental. James wrote, old folks need more light up here. James wrote that each one of us, I feel a movement of the Spirit coming up. Thank you! I've never had that happen before. James wrote, but each man is tempted when by his own evil desires he is dragged away and enticed. Folks, he's tempted. Those evil desires start right here. Every sin that we do, it starts right here. So what we have to do is we have to change our thought patterns. We've got to start thinking pure thoughts. Turn over, if you've got your Bible with you, look at Psalm 1 and verses 1 and 2. But let's start with just verse 1. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. He does not stand in the way of the sinners or sit in the seat of mockers. There's a progression of sin going on there. We're starting out walking. You know, we're not that comfortable with it. Maybe we're walking and we're tempted by something and we keep on walking. And then the next day we're walking the same way and we may be tempted again and start to slow down. Well, the next day maybe we're tempted again and we just stop and stand there. And it progresses until we get so comfortable with it, we sit down and it becomes a part of us. But here's how we get out of it. He's blessed when he doesn't, when we don't do that, because his delight is in the law of the Lord. And he meditates on it day and night. And that's what we have to do. We have to know what the Word of God is and meditate on it. We have to keep it in here. We have to make sure our thoughts are pure, because that's what God has called us to do. We're to be Christ-like. Christ did not have some of the thoughts ever in his life that I had when A-Rod got hit purposely with that pitch the other night. I will tell you that now. I just got an amen from Rod on that. We have to change our thought patterns and think like Christ. Turn over to Matthew 15. 15, 10, and 11. I'm watching Chris. He's my measuring stick. When he gets it, I'm assuming everybody does. I know how little the print and the font in his Bible is, so if he can read it, y'all are there. Matthew 10 and 11. Jesus, he sets this quote up by saying, "Listen and understand." This wasn't something him and Peter and the boys, they're not just hanging out, and this is just something that he happened to say. But he wanted this to stick, because he said, "Listen and understand this. What goes into a man's mouth does not make him unclean. But what comes out of his mouth, that is what makes him unclean." And what comes out of his mouth starts right here. What goes in winds up here. Y'all can see there's a lot been going in. But what comes out, it comes out right here. Sin starts in our mind and it comes right out our mouth. And if you don't know it, let me be the first one to inform you. Lying will get you to hell as quick as murder. So we've got to change the thought patterns and think pure thoughts. Yogi also said, if you don't know where you're going, you might wind up somewhere else. Think about that for a minute. And that really hits us Christians hard, because I'm going to tell you, I'm an insomniac, okay? You stay up late night and watch TV, there is a doctrine, there is a gospel for everything you want. And we have to be able to know which to follow. We've got to know what the Word of God says. What is health and wealth? Anything. If you want it preached, I guarantee you, there is a preacher. If you need help with it, there's a preacher who's got a doctrine for it. Probably didn't come from here, but he's got it. Acts 17 and 11. Luke wrote, "Now the Bereans were more noble than the Thessalonians, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true." Folks, we've got to do that. We've got to examine the scriptures. I was talking to one of you the other night, and we were talking about how coming to a Bible college, it's sometimes this book turns into a textbook. You know, sometimes we remember things out of this to get through the test. The book of Acts is chock full of stuff that we can change the world with. But if we study it to get through a Professor Woolard test on Acts, and just to get through that test, just so we can figure out whether it's D, A, and C, or E, neither of them. If we study this book just to figure out A or C, we've missed the whole book. We have to be like those in Berea. We have to study this book. We have to make it more than a textbook. It's an owner's manual, folks. This changes your spiritual oil. Sets the gap on your spark plugs. This is our life manual. It's not a textbook. It is a textbook at times. But we've got to make sure that when the class is over and when we're done studying for the test, we've got to take this book and study it for us to know what it says that we're supposed to do, how we're supposed to live, how we can affect change in our lives, which is going to affect change in everybody that we come in contact with's lives. My final point, does y'all have, does anybody have a Dr. Bob test today? I'll talk a little longer. I used to like that, Dr. Bob, when, you know, I sit in here and you, I had a test for you and somebody would talk a little longer. Yogi Berra said, you can observe a lot just by watching. You laugh, think about it. Think about it. And it's true, because if you look over in 1 Corinthians... I'm lucky. See, mine's got sticky notes. I can find it quicker. 1 Corinthians 4 and 16. Paul says, therefore, I urge you to imitate me. Paul had set us an example. Each one of us. We have that example in Paul. He has given it to us. We have it right here. In his writings, he has given us a way to act, a way to live, a way to treat other people. And where did Paul get his example? 1 Corinthians 11 says Paul got his example. The example he follows is Christ. We can follow Paul, whose example is Christ. We can follow the people in our churches, in our schools, wherever we are that are more mature in the faith than we are. They've been there. They've studied this book. They are setting examples for us. But the following an example is a two-way street. See, I'd only give you three bases, but anybody knows anything about baseball, it's home plate. The last part of this is the two-way street with observing. People are observing us. We have to set the example for the people who are weaker in the faith. And and the new Christians might not be younger than us. They may be older than us. But we have to set examples for them because they're watching us. It looks good when we're walking in chapel. We got cars riding by and they see us walking in chapel. That's a good example. Or on Sunday morning, they see us walking in the church. That's great. But what about out on the golf course? When, you know, just think about it. You're standing on the golf course and, you know, you're one over par and your buddy bogeys and you hit yours in the water hole. What kind of example are you setting for Christ when that happens? What kind of example are we going to set at the card table when the turn and the flop just don't go the right way? Think about it. I play cards too. And I know all about the water hole in a golf course. I've drowned more balls than I've ever put on a green in my life. What kind of example would be set? And if somebody's getting ready to knock on your door and A-Rod gets hit in the side on purpose, what kind of example would they hear coming from the other side of the door? They have to think about that. Because they're observing us. People are watching us because we're saying we're Christians. And if you're a Christian, well, I'm supposed to follow what you do. We're supposed to be following. Our goal is to be Christ-like. They're following us because they said, hey, they're Christians. They've got it all together. Well, we may have it getting it together. We may be in the process of getting it together, but there's still so much change that we can affect in our own lives. We can't do without this. We can't do without His Word. Yogi Berra said, if you come to a fork in the road, take it. People, every day of our lives, we're at a fork in the road. And at the middle of that fork in the road stands Jesus Christ. It's up to us. We decide we can take it or we can take a step down the other way. But we have to be prepared to take that fork in the road. In closing, I will tell you that Yogi Berra's son, Dale Berra. I'm going to show you that the apple don't fall too far from the tree. Dale Berra was talking about his daddy, and he said, "Our similarities are different." A lot of times with us and the Father, our similarities are different, people. And that shouldn't be. We don't want our apple falling too far from the Father's tree. We need to think pure thoughts. We've got to get in the Word and know what this means. What it means for our lives and the lives of the people we're affecting. And we've got to watch and set good examples and pull it back. We want to make it so our similarities and His similarities are coming together. And I think we can do that. Let's pray one time. Father, I thank you so much for a place like MACU where we can come and we can be together as Christians from different walks of life, different everything, different cultures. But we have the love, your love coming down on us and your love in us radiating out to all of our brothers and sisters here at the school. And that your love will radiate out through everybody who comes in contact with us. That we won't just be a good witness for MACU, but folks will look at us and say, they're Christians. Lord, be with us as we go through this day and every day. In Jesus' name, amen.